How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
Welcome back to the Rain and Jays. It's me, Jay King, with Sam Packard of WEI. Celtics have had 3 days of practice now, five practices in total. They have done some five-on-five work. Al Horford still drawing compliments every day, as expected. We got Marcus Smart, the rundown of stuff today. We got Marcus Smart going through changing his shooting form a little bit, which is probably necessary after all the bricks he had last year. We've got Terry Rozier drawing a lot of praise at camp from a lot of different people. And then we're going to get to Ty Lue stealing an old Doc Rivers trick straight from the Doc Rivers Celtics playbook. And we're going to go with a little mystery machine, give out the five Celtics from this week, the first week of practice, that deserved to be on Jaylen Brown's mystery machine. Anyway, Sam, Marcus Smart changing his form. Do you think it will make a difference?
I don't know. It feels like this is like one of the classic training camp tropes. Is this is what the guy does who struggled from shooting, is that this whole change in form is going to kind of be the reason why he, like Marcus Smart, may make a giant leap. In a very like layman analysis, he didn't have the smoothest shooting stroke before, so I don't see why any change like wouldn't be welcomed. But I'm not a shot doctor. I don't know. It could just be like, if maybe he just believes that this change will make him shoot better and it might work, but I have no idea how to evaluate his like specific mechanics.
Yeah, so I went back and rewatched all of his three pointers from last year. And number one, that is a painful exercise. I do not recommend it to anyone listening.
How did you go about doing that?
I went to NBA.com, and you can click on all of his game logs, and they have like the interactive game logs where you can look at each field goal attempts from each game. And so I went back through and watched all the three-point field goal attempts. And one of the biggest takeaways was that his feet never did the same thing. Like, his footwork was really inconsistent. I think that was probably the biggest issue. Another thing is he didn't really know what on catch and shoots whether he wanted to do like the 1-2 where you step one with it or hop into it. And shooting coaches say that makes a difference, that when you hop into a shot, you don't dip as low, and the dip comes more naturally. It comes quicker. And that was one thing that he talked about, was that he doesn't want to dip the ball as low because defenders had more of a chance to catch up to him, contest his shot, all that. So there's definitely a lot he can work on. I don't think he's as bad a shooter as he was as last year. You know, his rookie year, he shot slightly better than 33% from three, which is almost league average. And I think a little regression to mean he's due for probably some improvement anyway. He cannot be as bad as he was last year. I don't think that's possible. And if he is, then at some point the Celtics coaches have to pull him aside and be like, hey, Marcus, man, it's time to stop chucking. I also think shot selection is a big deal. Like, stop shooting contested shots. Stop shooting shots super early in the shot clock. You are not a three-point shooter. Even if you improve, you're not going to become a good three-point shooter right away. So holster it sometimes, Marcus. Pick your spots better. Know a good shot when you see one.
That was the most frustrating thing about watching Marcus Smart last year, was those early threes in the shot clock, especially when he's not or wasn't a good three-point shooter. It's just kind of, what are you thinking? And it's I agree with you. I don't think he's a terrible shooter, because there were those kind of moments, and it seemed to be when he needed to make it, he had the ability to do so. But is the footwork, you said that was like what you mentioned as like kind of his most inconsistent thing. Was that something that he mentioned when he was talking to you guys?
No, so he did say he doesn't want to dip the ball as much, and I think that that's kind of part of the footwork. Like, if you get the footwork right, then the dip kind of comes naturally. And when your footwork's wrong, you're not sure what to do with it, trying to get a rhythm. So I think that's part of it. And by the way, this is the most training camp discussion ever. We are talking about the new shooting form that we have not seen yet. Like, this is a crazy, crazy discussion to have. We do not know if Marcus Smart improved at shooting. We do not know what his new form will look like. We do not know if he even changed his shooting form at all, but he said he did. And so we are completely overreacting to his quotes about it, but this is all you have to deal with at training camp. So
this is what happens when Jared Sullinger leaves the team and you don't have to – there's no story about him coming in 40 pounds lighter.
Yeah, did you
see
that?
We just don't have any players like that. Yeah,
he is a
everyone could have predicted that
lighter.
Jared – every that story is going to happen with every single training camp Jared Sullinger ever participates in. Is he's going to come in – although I guess last year he came in and was like, yo, I'm not in great shape yet. So he's a bit more honest this year, but it is the training camp story, and it's like, how much are we really going to be able to tell about this team after, what, 3 days of practice? That what Brad Stevens says they like to move fast, and that's basically all we know is whatever these guys tell us.
Yeah. Now, one thing they are telling us repeatedly is that Terry Rozier has improved a lot. And we saw that in summer league. He looked a lot more comfortable getting to the rim, finishing, hitting three balls, really running the offense at a rate that he didn't even come close to achieving as a rookie. On media day, Al Horford went out of his way to say that Terry Rozier looked good in pickup. Today, Isaiah Thomas was asked about James Young's confidence, and in the middle of the answer, Thomas pivoted and was like, and by the way, Terry Rozier is playing well too, guys. Like, Terry Rozier looks really good out there. And then Brad Stevens also went out of his way when talking about young guys. He said Terry Rozier looks like a different guy and that he's just really becoming comfortable with picking his spots and finding his opportunities. That's really good to hear, because the Celtics need a guy to take over some of the ball handling responsibilities that will open up because Evan Turner left to Portland. And obviously, Rozier, he was so hesitant as a rookie. He didn't want to step on anyone's toes. I don't think he knew when to make his moves. Like, he just wasn't – it wasn't clear to him yet, or at least he wasn't aggressive enough to act on it when he did see avenues to the paint or avenues openings to score – openings to drive to the lane and get a teammate open. So it's a big deal for them if he can make that step. And it seems like he's really impressing everyone so far at training camp.
That was going to be my first question I was going to ask you, is whether or not it was kind of just players talking about Terry Rozier when asked. But it sounds like these guys are really impressed enough so to kind of steer questions toward Terry Rozier. And that's huge for the Celtics, and it makes sense kind of with the progression of young point guards. Like, any point guard who comes into the league, their rookie year, it's going to be just difficult processing the speed of the game, how to operate the offense. And it's good that he is so confident, and I think that the kind of the benefits of dominating summer league are really going to ring true. I kind of see him as more of the backup point guard than Marcus Smart. I think in terms of pick and roll and decision making, just from what I've seen from Smart and Rozier always struck me as kind of the natural point guard who's more of the playmaker, where Marcus Smart is maybe a guy who plays off ball and is able to drive and kick, but he's not going to be the one you're running high pick and roll for. So that's great for the Celtics if Rozier can make an impact. It's just, again, this is training camp talk, and we're going to have to see him playing against, you know, legitimate point guards in the league and then making the right decision in actual games. We've seen him perform well in summer league, but it's only time will tell if he can actually do that during the regular season.
You brought up Smart at point guard, and I'm interested to see what he's like this year with the ball. I think it will be more in his hands, because it won't be like it was with Evan Turner, where he's obviously the better playmaker. Smart has done... he made a lot of strides as a pick-and-roll passer last year, and he's not as much of a threat in the pick-and-roll, or at least he wasn't last year, because he hasn't figured out how to finish. He's not crafty enough, to draw a lot of fouls yet, although he did a little better job of that in his second year than his first. I'm interested to see how he does with those extra responsibilities. And I think it might be better for him. Like, catch and shoot opportunities, that's never going to be his game. Like, obviously, or maybe it will. Maybe one day, years from now, he develops into a knockdown shooter. But catch and shoot, that's not him. He's big enough to punish guys in the post, and the Celtics went to that sometimes last year. He has good vision. Like, he can't always navigate the lane like you want a point guard to, but when a pass is open, he can make it. He can get it to a guy, and he can get it in the shooting pocket. So I think he might have more point guard skills than some guys realize. But again, yeah, Terry Rozier might be the more natural playmaker of the two. And Steven said those guys said today he expects those guys to share ball handling responsibilities. And obviously, the more playmakers you can have, especially on a team that doesn't have a lot of it outside of Isaiah Thomas, that's critical to have those guys step up. Trying to get his team to step up, Ty Lue, just blatant thievery of Doc Rivers, man.
Yeah, hold on. That was a brilliant transition. I have to compliment you on that one. Well done.
I'm working on it. See, Corrales is always like the host when he's with me, so I don't know what the hell I'm doing when I host, but every once in a while, I show flashes of brilliance. I will have to pat myself on the back. That was well done.
And I have to mention that I just ruined basically the entire transition by remarking about how good a transition it was. So I'd like to take credit for that.
Well, sometimes it's more important to point out that I was smart than to help me be even smarter.
Absolutely. Any chance you can get to say that you're smart, we have to take.
Anyway, so Ty Lue, it came out, I guess, a couple of days ago, that he actually did exactly what Doc Rivers did back in 2008. And Doc Rivers, what he did was he took money from each of the guys, and it was a significant amount, money that NBA players wouldn't really miss too much, but like enough to so that it was real to them. And I forget the exact amount Doc did. And he hit it in the Staples Center ceiling, and he said, "We're going to be back here for the finals, and you'll be able to get it back when you beat them." And Ty Lue did the exact same thing with the Warriors this year, man. Like, come on, Ty. At least come up with your own motivating tactic. You can't use the same exact thing. Although it worked. In both cases, it worked. So maybe more coaches should do that.
Well, that's the thing. Like, if any coach tried this and then it didn't work, we would never hear about it. But didn't Doc Rivers do it?
I feel like a player would, like, get in a fight with the coach. Like, "Coach, you screwed me out of $1,000, man. Like, I thought we were going to win this. I thought we were going to get the money back." So I think we might hear about it, because there might be, like a big beef between player and coach.
Now, didn't Doc do it? Did he do it during the finals? Or I thought he did it, like, during a regular season game, and he just knew that they're, like, going to have to beat the Lakers that year. Do I have that wrong?
He did it during a regular season game. That's correct.
So Ty Lue did it during Game 5. Like, I'm not as impressed with kind of his strategy or his, like, real motivating, because that Doc showed some foresight and, like, really – it's a lot more impressive what Doc did. Ty Lue just basically ripped him off, and then and can't knock him that hard because it actually worked.
Yeah, I think Brad Stevens should take some money from Marcus Smart, take some money from Jaylen Brown, take some money from Al Horford, Isaiah Thomas, the whole gang, and stick it.
Hide it.
But don't hide it in Golden State. Don't hide it in Oracle. Hide it in like a team you'd rather face in the finals that you might have a chance of beating. And maybe it the trick is
you
so
can't
powerful.
Be a motivated.
Maybe the trick is you so powerful that it's like the Clippers make the finals and the Celtics have a chance to beat them once they get there.
Maybe they should just put like $10,000 in every Western Conference team's locker room, just on the off chance to beat them in the finals.
Could afford it, man. He could pay for the whole team and have enough to spare. But okay, we're getting a little long here. Not too long, I guess, but there's really not much to talk about. I'm very excited. Friday night, the Celtics have an open scrimmage for season ticket holders, and we will finally get a chance to see the Celtics play basketball. That's one of my favorite nights of the year, which sounds weird. It's just like an open scrimmage, an intra-squad scrimmage, but there hasn't been basketball for months, and finally, like, you get to see a little bit of what the team is building and what Steven's vision is and all that. And obviously, you don't learn too much, but again, it's time to overreact. This is overreaction season. That's all you can do at this point, is overreact to limited information when you're trying to analyze the team. So the Celtics have open scrimmage soon. Today, which is Thursday, we're recording this on a Thursday, we got to see a little bit of three-on-three work between the younger guys. Jalen Jones, I'll tell you, Jalen Jones looked pretty good. Jalen Jones had a couple of dunks, a big three. Jalen Brown made some good moves. Man, Jalen Brown is so quick. He is so big, so strong, so fast. Like, he's just really on another planet athletically than guys like even James Young and RJ Hunter, who were first-round picks the last couple of years on the wing. He is, whoa, it stands out. He didn't have, like he didn't completely dominate the three-on-three session, but just the tools, man. And obviously, you know the tools are there. But Jalen Brown, earlier this year, I guess over the summer, he tweeted out a picture of a broken-down van and said it was his Scooby-Doo mystery machine. So we decided to come up with a segment where once a week we pick the five guys on the Celtics who deserve to go for a ride on the mystery machine. I'm going to let you start off with the first pick, Sam. Who you got?
The first pick in my personal mystery machine has got to go to Jonas Jerebko.
Ooh,
for coming into practice and just immediately was saying that he wants to become a starter. And it's the kind of swagger that I appreciate. I just remember one time last year, Jerebko was after the game, he was wearing like a full mink coat. And it just made him kind of look like he was an assassin, like a European assassin. And I just really, I fully appreciated his swagger at that moment. And when he came in and said he wanted to start, it reminded me that you don't mess with the big Swede. So he's riding shotgun right now in my mystery van.
The Swedish assassin. All right, that was a surprise pick right there. I definitely was not prepared for Jerebko. I got to go with Al Horford, the new guy. Everybody's complimenting him. Today, Isaiah Thomas was like glowing. Like, this guy, he just wants to make everybody better. He pulled me aside the other day and told me his job is just to help everyone else. So you need a guy like that. You need, first of all, he's the most talented player on the Celtics. So you need that talent. But I need that guy who just wants to help me, man. I need him on the mystery machine.
He's a leader. He's like kind of the wise man. When you look to him while you're in trouble. So he's of course going in there.
Yeah, he can be like the directions guy too. Like he's given the driver directions the whole time. He doesn't even need GPS.
He's been down all those roads before, man. He just knows from like the back of his hand.
Yep.
All right, my next guy, we just talked about him, is Terry Rozier. I mean, there's got to be a reason everyone's bringing him up. He has to be doing something right. And if everyone's noticing, and he seems like the cool guy on the team that everyone wants to praise. So, hey, I'm just going to follow the crowd. And if everyone else wants Terry Rozier, I want him in my car.
I'm bringing Gerald Green, man. Gerald Green, back to Boston, high flyer, got some funky hair going on. He's a real funny dude. I had one guy in the Celtics organization who's been there for a long time. He came up to me, and this was after Gerald had spoken at Media Day, and he said to me, I cannot believe how much Gerald has changed in the 12 years since he was here last. Like, he's like, I cannot believe that is the same person who was in Boston all that long ago. I mean, he played in Russia since then. He played in the D League. He had a long, long journey to get back to Boston. And he earned the right to get back on the mystery machine, man. I don't know how long he'll stay on the mystery machine, but I'm giving Gerald Green, even though he has a hip flexor right now, maybe we'll have to have him not sit on that hip. He'll have to favor the other side a little bit. But he's in the mystery machine.
Have you guys talked about like what role he might play this season? Because he's kind of confusing to me about where exactly how he's going to get minutes. Because it feels like any minutes he plays is kind of taken away from Jalen Brown. But then it also seems like he's a veteran who may get more trust from Stevens and seems to be best friends with Isaiah Thomas. So what do you think his role is going to be once he gets healthy?
I think it's whatever he earns. He's a guy, like, if he plays like he has the last couple of years, then he's probably not worth putting on the court because he hasn't shot a great percentage from deep the last couple of years. His numbers have dipped. If he gets into the Celtics' fast-paced offense, and which is very different than the offense they ran in Miami for most of the last couple of years, although they picked up the pace a little bit at the end of last year after Bosch went down. If he can get back in the run and gun and lift that three-point percentage a little bit, then he earns those minutes. And maybe that takes away from Jaylen Brown's time. Maybe that takes away from Terry Rozier's time. But you need a guy who can shoot, who can put the ball in the basket. And Gerald Green can absolutely do that. So I think it's all how he plays. I don't know exactly what he has left, but maybe the change of scenery and going back into a fast-paced offense with really they run an equal opportunity offense, maybe that's good for him. Maybe he just needs that full green light.
Well, he's done enough to earn his place in the mystery van. I mean, so as long as the stock keeps rising, we'll see if he's there next week.
That's it. Yep. Mystery machine,
well, if you remember,
first, rotation second.
Yeah, that's going to be key. If you remember the first time we did this, I believe I had a pity selection, which went to Tyler Zeller.
Are you throwing him on again?
No, but I'm still going to put a pity selection on just because I think this might be our only chance to put this guy in the machine because he's probably going to be cut. Jimmy Buckets, James Young, come on down. You're riding bitch on the mystery van.
Why do you have to make him ride bitch? He's
the last selection, and he's the pity guy.
You can't give the pity guy the bitch. Like you should have him.
He should be happy just to be in the van. He doesn't get to complain about his seat placement.
He should be riding shotgun with his head out the window, feeling the breeze a little bit, smiling into the wind, just enjoying.
You're talking about him like he's a dog that you're about to put down.
Well, he kind of is, right? I mean, that could be the truth. He might be put down pretty soon. Even though he has also drawn a couple of compliments. People were talking about his aggression. I don't fully buy it. I won't buy it until I see him on the opening day roster, or at least I see him play well during the preseason action. He's a guy that really has to prove it after, especially what he was like in summer league as a third year pro. But he's in the mystery machine. He's in the mystery machine. Which means he's really had a good week. Even if he ultimately doesn't make the Celtics, he's had a good week. And that's all you can ask for in the mystery machine. So that's it. We're done with the mystery machine. Tweet us with the hashtag #RainandJays if you have other guys who you think should have been in the mystery machine. Also, go subscribe to us wherever you listen to podcasts, whether it's iTunes, Audio Boom, Stitcher, whatever else. Subscribe to us, 5-star rating. You know the drill. We deserve it. Maybe not, but you should feel a little charitable to us. You know, we give you daily podcasts. We don't have to give you daily podcasts, but we do. So please, 5-star rating. It's the least you can do for us. Anyway, that's it. Another episode of the Locked On Celtics podcast, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network.